Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Whole Truth Show.
Because we don't do anything halfway.
No, because this show is dedicated to holes. So, in fact, it is the whole truth. We'll explain
and nothing but the truth,
and we'll explain all in the.
Hey, wait a minute! Now, I don't understand, Tony. Just because I went to Vegas doesn't mean I have to come in and take some kind of truth serum.
No, it absolutely doesn't. We are, of course, talking about President Trump and his discussion and description of developing countries. We decided
well,
it was
shouldn't it have been the blank hole. Truth.
Well, you put in your words, I'll put in mine, the whole truth. And we're going to talk about holes and various holes in the human body. We'll talk about that more throughout the show. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio. And thanks to my friend Drew for suggesting that if the president is talking about a hole, maybe Health Matters ought to give you some anatomic information. My co-medical host, Shelly Irving, this has been a tough season for us. We have been snowed out. We have been flued out. There are many reasons why we are not here. But Shelly,
only the strong survive, right?
Shelly is doing storm reporting in Isonville. But with me, fresh from his trip to Las Vegas, more about that in our upcoming show, executive director of networking and infrastructure at the University of Kentucky, Rick Phillips, and he's going to tell you how to access us on the internet.
Our Health Matters radio show can be found on WMKY.org. That's right, Moorhead State Public Radio's website. You have to find the menus, but there is a section there carved out just for Health Matters. It's got a list of our shows, the most recent ones anyway. It's got a little bit of a summary about it, and then let's be honest, that's based on what Tony can remember we talked about during the show. So sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it's, well,
it's true.
It's just a couple of sentences. But nonetheless, you may find the show that you're interested in. You may see something that looks interesting. Click on the link. You can listen to the show there. Again, the audio of the show, WMKY.org. After that, it's time to interact. We've set up a Facebook fan page just for Health Matters Radio Show. And it is at facebook.com/HMRadioShow. And again, there you can, you know, like that page. You can interact with us. You can leave comments. Look at some of the posts we've put up. You know, everybody from the station program director to Tony or myself posts on that. And we will respond directly to your questions. We'll take your comments. We'll take feedback. We'll suggestions for show topics. You just get in there and interact to your little heart's desire with Health Matters and the Health Matters staff. And again, you can find that at facebook.com/HMRadioShow.
Our sponsor is Know Your Holes. Is it Uranus or Uranus? First of all,
why would you do that? Why would you even do that?
Because this is going to be fun. This is really going to be fun.
It doesn't sound fun.
Well, I'll tell you.
Does this have anything to do with a hole?
Let's give you some background. First of all, this was back on January 12th. President Trump grew frustrated with lawmakers in the Oval Office. This is reported the 12th. It was happened on January 11th. They were talking about protecting immigrants from Haiti, El Salvador, and African countries as a part of the immigration deal. And then President Trump, according to those who were there, says, why are
according
we having
to some
of the people who were there? Why are we having all these people from diaper area countries come here? Now, he had just come from a meeting from the prime minister of Norway.
See, like he'd just come from the golf course.
Right. And he said or the locker room. But he said, why can't we have more immigrants from places like Norway? Now, to the novice, it may appear that the president was racist.
To the novice.
And we'll leave it at that. That preferring Norwegian immigrants to those from African countries and so forth.
But I wouldn't necessarily take it that way, though, Tony. I think there's something to be said about the Norwegian area. It's high tech. The problem is they don't want to leave their country because they love their country.
Right. Well, it was pointed out that African immigrants actually have a higher percentage of college degrees than the American population as a whole.
Right.
So when you talk about high tech, you've got to keep that in mind. But that's not our point because we're not political. What is our point is that he decided to call these countries diaper area countries, posterior diaper area countries, as you mentioned. And so that led us, we thought maybe people should know more about the posterior diaper area. So I have 11 fun facts here.
Yeah, and these fun facts, we have something that
are about
intervals of five.
Uranus or Uranus. And Rick's job, or both. And Rick's job is to figure out which one I'm talking about.
I don't think I like this game.
I love it.
Because this game is designed to make Rick look silly.
This is so good. All right, first fun fact. Uranus was officially discovered by Sir William Herschel in 1781.
Mine or somebody else's?
Planet. Planet or
planet.
Planet. Okay, got it. At first, he thought it was a comet, but it was several years later confirmed as a planet, and the name comes from a Greek god called Uranos, which is really the sky. That's it. Fun fact number two, Uranus has hemorrhoids, which are varicose veins. That's not
the
planet. Right? The veins help. Those veins help to seal the rectum and to keep things inside, which we would like to keep inside. Sort of like closing a door. A hemorrhoid then is a varicose or a dilated vein in the anal area. It can bleed because it's a vein. It can bleed a lot,
right,
not just a little bit. It can itch and get irritated. And also, you can get what they call anal seepage because, again, it is essentially the edge
of
the door. Yeah, it's the seal on the door to your rear end. You can the way you take care of these is too much for this show, but you can surgery is one common way to take care of hemorrhoids. Realize though they're dilated veins, if they are giving you a lot of problems, you can have them removed. But the other veins are there, and if one vein's dilated, many times the other veins are as well. So it doesn't always.
So it's whack-a-mole.
Yeah, it's not a perfect thing. The key to preventing these hemorrhoids. Avoid constipation and straining at stool because when you push down, you in effect you can dilate those.
You're
veins.
Trying to give birth to your hemorrhoids.
Right. The other thing is, if you read on the toilet, the lower part of the posterior region is the lowest part of the body, and that's not good for dilated veins. So do not spend a lot of time on the toilet. Drink plenty of fluids. Eat plenty of fiber to keep your stool soft. And you may then be able to avoid the problem with hemorrhoids. We'll talk more about the planet and the body part in our second fraction.
Hopefully
portion.
More planet.
That is our sponsor, Know Your Holes. Is it Uranus or is it Uranus? First up, flu season. Bad news for flu season.
Yeah, it's been a particularly bad one, hasn't it?
It has. Every state in the continental United States had widespread influenza this past week, and that's the first time that's happened in a couple of years. The problem is, actually the 2014-15 season, I believe, is the last time that happened. The problem is this flu is caused by something called an H3N2 virus, and those are some of the nastiest flu viruses known to mankind. The other thing that's problem is the flu virus spreads better in cold air. Well, we've had that.
Just a little.
Yeah. It also, the vaccines
ask me,
are...
Ask me what the temperature was in Vegas.
What was the temperature in Vegas, Rick?
It got down below 60 a couple of times. No, actually, in the night, it was 50. The day, it was 65, 67. It was miserable. It was just miserable.
We'll talk more about Vegas in our third fractional portion. If we choose to do so, we may actually not talk about it.
Hey, say what you will, though. I was there for 5-6 days.
Yeah.
It rained for two of them,
but
which is unusual in Vegas.
True. I'll give you that.
It actually flooded one of the parking lots in one of the casinos. It was pretty funny. Watching a river of water come rolling down through the middle of a parking garage underneath the hotel. It was pretty amazing.
Thinking of something to say, I have nothing to say, so I'll keep going about the flu season. This H3N2, there's a couple things about it. One is you may have heard that the vaccine effectiveness was around 10%. That's what I heard. That is Australian data from last summer here, last winter in Australia, and their vaccination rate is substantially lower than ours. The experts are now saying this vaccine's around 30% effective. That's lower than usual. And one of the reasons, when I first heard this, I thought, well, they must have guessed the wrong strain. In fact, you might say they nailed the strain. They had the strain correct. The problem with H3N2, it mutates more rapidly. And so while you're growing it on eggs, it is changing on the egg, and it's also changing on the people. And so what you finish with is a vaccine that is not as close to what the virus is as what you started with. So once again, H3N2, it's a more lethal virus. It is really dangerous for young children and elderly. So we're going to have more deaths. We already in Kentucky, we've had a substantial number of flu deaths. I believe 39 is a number that stuck out for me from the news reports earlier this week. Have had a couple of children die from influenza in the state of Kentucky. The vaccine, they guessed correctly, they grew it correctly, but this is just a tough virus to vaccinate against. And the fact that we've had extremely cold air does not help us out. So it looks like we're going to have a pretty darn bad influenza season. There's still actually some time to get your flu vaccine. We do recommend it. People talk about 10% effectiveness. That's not really true. That was in a country that does less vaccination than we do. If you were the current estimates, they won't have a full one to the end of the month, but the an accurate description at the end of the month. But the current estimates are it's probably going to be around 30% effective. And by 30% effective, what that means is it would reduce your chance of needing to go to a healthcare facility or having some adverse outcome by around 30%. Doesn't mean that you can glide through influenza-infested environments and not get sick, but it means that it either does some protection, it also makes it not quite as severe. Still, avoid sick people. If you yourself are sick, don't go to work. Don't give this to your coworkers. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. These are the ways that you prevent yourself from getting sick from the influenza virus. So this is really critical. And this is a more lethal virus. It is also a bad year for influenza in the first place. It is very widespread, more so than it's been in 2 or 3 years. And we could be looking at some substantial casualties as a result of this influenza outbreak. One last thing, tying everything together, as I often do, Rick.
You're eloquent about it, too.
January 10th, Time Magazine.
You were man of the year? Were you man of the year?
To some people, yes. A very small and select crowd, I was. But we're not talking about man. Well, I don't know. Depending on your outlook. And Time Health, January 10th, they asked the question, did President Donald Trump get the flu shot? And the answer apparently is no. U.S. presidents have been getting the influenza vaccine for decades. But on the Opie and Jim Norton radio show, Trump said this. He said, I've never had one. Thus far, I've never had the flu. I don't like the idea of injecting bad stuff into my body, which is basically what they do. I've never had a flu shot. I've never had the flu. I have friends who religiously get the flu shot, and then they get the flu. I've seen lots of reports that the last flu shot is virtually totally ineffective. I've passed on it, but that doesn't mean other people should. So that's about as far as you get with science with President Trump, unfortunately.
We're going to give you time to ponder that.
Yeah, and we do recommend you get the influenza vaccine, and it is certainly not totally ineffective. Health Matters is, and we're going to take a break and come back with our second fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello, and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Whole Truth Show.
And nothing but the truth.
Rick keeps wanting to put a W in front of the H. And
I don't hole. Want to talk about the other hole.
Because we actually, this is dedicated to President Trump and his description of certain developing countries that he felt should not have priority on immigration. But we are doing this, and this is our sponsor.
I mean, couldn't he even say pie hole or something?
Know your holes, Uranus or Uranus. And we did. We only got two of those, so we got to move pretty quickly here through the rest of them. Now, the question is this
move Uranus?
is this the planet or is this the body part? And so, fun fact number three, Uranus turns on its axis once every 17 hours.
Well, it just depends.
Doesn't it, though? So we'll get
Are
that.
You a gymnast?
That's both, we'll say. Or are you lying on the couch? We'll say couch potato.
In the case of me, it's a planet.
The planet, 17 hours, 14 minutes, and it turns on its axis. Its axis is horizontal as opposed to planet Earth. Fun fact number four, it makes one trip around the sun every 84 years.
Well, mine goes one trip around the sun every year.
Okay, so we'll put that down as planet. Here's one, a little tough. The upper atmosphere of Uranus is covered by a methane haze.
No comment.
Okay. Actually, that is not the planet because the planet.
Most eighth graders?
No. Everybody's an eighth grader on this show. The planet has a blue tint because it has methane, but it is not atmospheric. It is crystal. So that's a bit of a difference. But we'll give you both on number five. Number six, Uranus can develop fissures on its surface.
What's a fissure?
A fissure is a crack.
That's it?
Yes.
Why couldn't you just say it develops a crack?
Well, because that would spoil the answer.
Well, I think both.
Both, in fact. But we'll focus on the body part. There's something called an anal fissure, a tiny tear in the lining of the anus. It can cause a hot sensation or a burning sensation, especially after a large bowel movement. And if you already have constipation, that can stretch it and, again, can cause cracks or fissures. The treatment is usually very conservative. They recommend you sit in a hot bath, which cleans and also provides some soothing, 20 minutes a day until the tissue heals. But sometimes these fissures recur, and you have to have surgery. Number seven, fun fact, Uranus has two sets of very thin, dark-colored rings. See, this is tougher than you would think. Well, I'm going to say planet because I haven't verified.
They're all going to be planet.
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily. They're small particles, dust particles, 11 inner rings, 2 outer rings, 2 sets of rings. First rings discovered in 1977. The 2 outer rings, Hubble Space Telescope discovered in the early 2000s. And then fun fact number 8, we'll end there. Only one spacecraft has flown by Uranus.
Planet.
You got it.
That I know of.
Voyager 2 spacecraft swept past the planet at a distance of 81,000 kilometers. First close-up images of the planet, and it has a number of moons. It seemed like it was 20-some, but that's the only spacecraft. That's the only time mankind has visited Uranus. Just to let people know that. That's our sponsor, Know Your Holes. Is it Uranus or Uranus? This is somewhat related then to our general topic of discussion today. You may remember there is a germ in the colon, a nasty germ called Clostridium difficile or C. difficile. This is a germ. If you use antibiotics and you kill the normal germs in your colon, this thing grows over your colon, can produce intense inflammation, bloody diarrhea. It can be life-threatening. And this, when I was in medical school, when I started practice, this would occasionally overgrow, and it was annoying, but that was it. There are people who have been taken, their lives have been threatened by this germ. So the question really becomes, what happened to Clostridium difficile that might have made it more virulent in the past few years? Again, in the 1980s, no epidemics, very few deaths, but around 2000, it began to be a problem. So this is a guy named James Collins, who's a postdoctoral associate at Baylor College of Medicine, and he was looking at three things that really got my attention. In 2000, about the time Clostridium difficile got really bad, there was a new food additive in the United States called trehalose. It's T-R-E-H-A-L-O-S-E, and it was an additive. It was used to sweeten sushi, vegetables, ice cream, things like that. And about 3 years after that, we started noticing some real problems with Clostridium difficile. It's like sucrose. It's a disaccharide. It's a naturally occurring sugar. Only half as sweet as sucrose. It does help the foods remain stable, keeps them from drying out, enhances texture, and that's why it's used in ice cream. In 2000, the FDA granted it a generally recognized safe status. Now, they started studying then, so they thought they might have been onto something. First of all, they looked at the genetics and realized that there are certain strains of Clostridium difficile that had a genetic mutation that allowed them to sense trehalose and to use it for energy. Before then, Clostridium difficile couldn't use it and it wouldn't have grown there. Then they gave some mice this particular germ and fed them trehalose, and the germ took over in the GI tracts of the mice. And then finally, they, although you can't give a person Clostridium difficile because it's a life-threatening infection, they did take the intestinal secretions from people, and they spiked them essentially with trehalose, and then found that Clostridium difficile grew in them. So they published in Nature then three different experiments that indicated that we did this to ourselves. We had a new food additive, and that new food additive, in fact, may have served as the fuel for Clostridium difficile. Now, this wasn't a mistake. It wasn't that someone knew this was coming and approved the thing anyway. Generally, it was regarded as safe, and you couldn't anticipate this. But it just tells you we are starting to learn more and more about the biome, and we realize if we change the nature of foods or even a minor food additive such as this, an artificial sweetener or an artificial food stabilizer and texture agent, that is generally regarded as safe, we may grow different germs in our bowels, and that may be a very, very life-threatening thing. So for me, it was, first of all, it was really nice science. They looked at the genetics. They looked at the population studies. They looked at the mouse studies. And then they grew it in human intestinal secretions and realized we think we have we know what caused the epidemic of Clostridium difficile. It was a food additive that changed the environment in your colon and allowed this germ to grow. So I wanted to mention that, first of all, some really strong science, and also a reminder, we are just now understanding the relationship between what we put into our bodies and the germs we grow in our bodies. And I'm sure there's a lot more stuff like this going to come out as we learn more. Now, this tells us then that we, you know, at least one of the things we've got to do is get this stuff out of our food. That will not solve the problem, but it certainly will improve the situation some. So that's all I want to talk about that. I just thought that was neat.
Really? You thought that was neat?
Well, discovering why something changed in America's health and being able to trace it back. And again, four different lines of evidence, the timing, the genetics, the mouse studies, and the human the laboratory studies used in human secretions. It looks like they've nailed it. I mean, Francis Collins, the NIH sponsored the work, and Francis Collins wrote an editorial and said, I believe, he's a director of the National Institute of Health, I believe these guys are right. So chalk one up for Baylor.
Well, and chalk one up to some good grant money research, right?
Yeah, this was, you know, you would think, all right, well, we're searching the genetics of a bacterium. What are we going to get from that? Well, we may have saved some lives just by applying this basic science. You've heard me say over and over again that basic science is going to be in short supply in coming years because we are not really growing the scientists that we need while we grow the germs that we don't need.
Remember when we first started this show in
2003?
The rave was nursing shortage, right? We were short of nurses. It's interesting now we're kind of coming out and saying, you know, hey, we're going to be short of scientists or STEM professions. I remember when we were really trying to funnel women into STEM, I think – you know, now we really need to focus on getting anybody into STEM, any person, right?
Well, you can see, stepping back a little bit, you can see how dark ages occur. The dark ages always mystified me. You know, why did people turn their back? Well, I know, you couldn't see it well. There's that. But by the same token, people would turn their back on science. They would turn their back on education and learning, and they to the detriment of civilization. I'm starting to understand how those things can happen, and no, it doesn't make me feel good, and I worry for the people that. I just worry if people don't. Again, if a president doesn't accept that a flu vaccine works, that it protects people, and doesn't see any reason in particular to tell people that that's a good thing. If he points out the cases where it doesn't work as the exceptions as being the norm, then you turn your back on science and you wind up then just with conjecture and guessing. Anybody's truth is as good as anybody else's, and the evidence of scientific evidence. This is how you make decisions. This is how you learn things.
Is this a case of where if his personal beliefs are such that he really this is one where you probably just keep him close to the vest and you just don't. You know, stay neutral on the topic at best, but don't come out and say this because, again, it makes now all of a sudden you've got people who think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I feel a little bit, I guess, less antagonistic toward the president than many of the people that I talk to. But by the same token, it's pretty clear that you cannot present evidence and have him reach a logical conclusion from the evidence. I feel the same way. I mean, I've talked to legislators about Kentucky smoking ban and how cigarettes, in fact, are killing Kentuckians at astonishing rates. And the evidence there is pretty strong. And none of those pieces of evidence is really disputable. And yet no one takes action. So it's sort of like you can see evidence in front of you and ignore it because your opinion is that evidence doesn't matter. It's a weird, it's an odd thing. I don't know how you do that. You know, I'm looking here, and this is not really Rick sitting next to me. In my opinion, it looks a lot like Rick, but it's not.
Well, he's almost twice the man Rick used to be. I don't know, Tony. This is a tough one. You know, there are sometimes people just want to do their own thing, and then there are times where you're the president and you have to the reason that we have health social health programs or public health in general as a topic is the good of the many. We're really trying to do the right thing statistically across a group of lots of people, and this just kind of flies in the face of that. This is probably no different than a celebrity there's a certain point where, you can take your celebrity status and you can promote a bad thing and really go against public health. And I think, unfortunately, the Surgeon General works for this one, which, is probably a bigger problem.
Yep. I agree.
I mean, here's the thing. Every year we've done this show, I'll just confess, there's been some years I haven't gotten my flu shot. It's not because I have a moral objection to it. It's not because I think the evidence doesn't suggest it's a good thing. It's probably most of the time because I'm just lazy and stupid. But that's a whole different show. But I'm also not going to get on the radio and say, I heard a tale that somebody got, was it Asperger's? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, or anywhere the autism spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, I know that that's happened to people after they took the, which would, in a very narrow window, would suggest that we shouldn't do this. But if you look at what it does, it stops 5,000 needless flu deaths per year. And yes, one person or two people or whatever the statistic is, I really don't know what that statistic is right now. Whatever it is, is it the moral obligation to the group of people to, promote the what's good for the entire population as a whole?
Well, in this case, the science is very simple. If we show your body a weakened version of the flu vaccine, your body has a chance to begin making its own antibodies, its own immune chemicals to fight the flu before the flu happens. So you get a head start. It's just that simple.
Now, but the problem comes in is everything we do in healthcare, to some extent, has side effects. Right. And I think where the argument comes in, it's not I think the people are just scared of the side effects.
Right. And it's not free of side effects. But when you look at lives lost at complications versus lives saved and improvement in outcomes, hands down, there's really no arguments you can make against influenza. It has had a remarkable effect. I can see it, on the years when we have a great match with the influenza vaccine, the ER is just not as busy. This, unfortunately, is not such a year, and we are in trouble. I got about 3 minutes left in this segment.
So be quiet.
Yeah, no, I want to dig into something here, but I think it's pretty important. This was I'm pulling this off Reuters and other news services, January 12th. Kentucky is the first state in the United States to require its Medicaid recipients work or get job training. This was due to a waiver that was granted to the state of Kentucky, and this is the first time. Now, there are a lot of other states that are looking at this. Let's see, 9 additional states, similar changes: Arizona, Arkansas, Indiana, Kansas, Maine, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Utah, and Wisconsin all have also proposed this work rule. What it says pretty simply is, in the waiver, if you are an able-bodied adult, so they're not going to empty out the nursing homes and make them get a job, or if you're on home oxygen for your lung disease and so forth, I'm not going to do that. But if you're able-bodied, you must participate in at least 80 hours a month of employment activities, including job training, education, and community service. Now, if you are mentally ill, I suppose you're still able-bodied. I don't know what you would call a person who is mentally ill in terms of body, but I would assume if their main illness is mental illness, then that would not they would be able bodied. So that's a concern.
Well, are they able to? Yeah.
Yeah, because you can imagine if you have a pretty severe mental illness, you may be able bodied, but you may not be able to do work. There are other things. Many people you could argue about the definition of able bodied. But I will tell you, it applies to a minority. Around 60% of Medicaid recipients are actually already working, from my the numbers I've got. If you look, again, they're 19 to 64 years old. If you are foster care, pregnant, primary caregiver of someone who's frail, disabled, medically frail, full-time students, and also there are some other what they call reasonable modifications. But what the state has required. Now, quite simply, and we're running out of time as we always do. Kentucky expanded our Medicaid program dramatically. It was entirely free under the Beshear administration. The feds paid for 100% of the expansion. They're pulling back to 90%. But this is a $10 billion program, and so even at 90% federal expenses, we're still looking at a substantial amount of Kentucky dollars that have to go to Medicaid. We're trying to make this work. Now, I'm not arguing in favor of the working thing, but a lot of the proposals they have made are to try to find some way to save the expansion. I'm not political. I'm not a big supporter of the Bevin administration. They made some severe cuts to education, both K through 12 and also secondary education. But what they're trying to do is to save Medicaid, and they have proposed some regulations that they hope will do so. We may talk a little more about this, but we've got more that we need to cover this show. We'll be back with our third and final fraction portion after the break.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Whole Truth Show. That's whole with an H. And we are, I won't say celebrating, but we are commenting on President Trump's recent description of developing countries, Haiti, El Salvador, and African countries, as holes.
Yeah.
So we are talking about that part of the body, the anal area, and we have our sponsor for the final time, Know Your Holes. Is it Uranus or is it Uranus? And I am up to fun fact number 9. This could be a tough one, Rick. You can see Uranus with an unaided eye.
No, you can't.
In fact, that could apply to both. It is just within the brightness scale that a human eye can see.
What kind of contortionist do you have to be?
All I got to – boy, I mean, I'll just let our radio – this is radio, so the audience can imagine circumstances. First of all,
now,
in the
– no mirrors allowed.
Not in the night sky. Who says no mirrors allowed? Is that, I guess, the unaided eye? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Without a telescope, how about that? You can see it without a telescope. At any rate, the planet, if you knew exactly where to look and you had an extremely dark sky, you could see Uranus. Now, other than that, we'll move on. Number 10.
Maybe yours.
Uranus is surrounded by powerful anti-gravity forces. This
anti-gravity,
is
anti-gravity, right? That means it floats around.
Well, what it is actually that's not the planet. There is the gluteus system, the gluteus muscles, and particularly the gluteus maximus, is the thing that keeps us upright, which is why it is so big. We have the largest gluteus maximi for our size of any creature because the rest of them, of course, mostly go on all fours. And we have these anti-gravity muscles, which keep us in an upright position. So, in fact, Uranus is surrounded by powerful anti-gravity forces. As far as I know, the planet gravity functions normally. Here's one I like, Rick, and this is number 11. Uranus can be with cancer for 7 years, and that makes you moody.
Tony.
All right. According to an astrology source that I consulted, If you were born between 1948 and 1955, Uranus was, in fact, in Cancer in the zodiac. Okay,
that's a stretch.
And that makes you moody. Friends never know what to expect from you. Uranus is a cold and unemotional planet, and always encouraging logical, clear-cut action, while Cancer is all intuition. So if Uranus is your personal planet, you were born during those years, this can be a source of tension for you. But meanwhile, let's talk some about anal cancer. Only 8,000 new cases diagnosed every year.
Farrah Fawcett?
I don't know.
I think so. I think it was.
At any rate, most initial common symptom, rectal bleeding about 45% of the time. You can get some pain or a sensation of a mass in about a third. It has increased over the last 30 years, according to corresponding changes in our sexual practice, multiple partners, and also human papillomavirus is something that drives this. Cigarette smoking and HIV infections also increase your risk. As a matter of fact, anal cancer, rather than being like a cancer of the colon, is actually more like a sexually transmitted disease. So that is the final chapter of our sponsor, Know Your Holes. Is it Uranus or is it Uranus? And it turns out if Uranus is with cancer, first of all, that means that you are a conflicted person according to astrology. It also means that you are have a rather a difficult type of cancer to treat according to medicine. All right. This is I want to go back just for a minute and talk a little bit about Medicaid, and then Rick's going to finish out our show talking about Las Vegas. Back to Medicaid. Healthcare coverage for over 1.4 million Kentuckians. That is one-third of the state. And it was originally designed for pregnant women, children, people with disabilities, seniors, and low-income Kentuckians. The expansion occurred when we said, well, anybody who has an income less than 138% of poverty can be eligible for Medicaid. And those were the people then that were part of the Obama administration's expansion. In fact, this was the major change with the Affordable Care Act, not really the insurance exchanges. That helped some people. But in terms of numbers, this did more. It was a absolute night and day difference here in eastern Kentucky. We had so many people that had no access to health care. Hospitals were burdened with huge charity burdens and really barely able to survive. And then for our rural hospitals, that Medicaid expansion really made the difference. And at first, it was all good. Federal dollars came pouring in by the billions, supporting our state economy, expanding our health care access and health care facilities. We could not have had a better situation. But now we will gradually move between now and 2020 to the point where the state's picking up 10% of the tab. As I mentioned, 10% sounds like you give the feds a dime, they'll give you a dollar. This is a very, very good deal for us, but we are running out of dimes. And this program is a $10 billion program. And although it's not because of the way the numbers are calculated, it's not exactly 10% of $10 billion, but it is a substantial amount of state money we're going to have to pony up if we're going to keep Medicaid expansion. So the Bevin administration, first of all, they're committing more funds to Medicaid. Back in 2016, they published their estimated fiscal year 2018 budget, $1 billion extra, 83% of that for pensions to try to support our state workers' pensions and for Medicaid. And for Medicaid, that was going to be about $386 million extra in 2018. The things they're trying to do, first of all, they charge premiums, $1 if you are per month if you are on Medicaid and very low income, up to $15 a month if you are one of the new additions, 100 to 138% of federal poverty. And it increases as time goes on. If you do not pay these, you're kicked out of Medicaid and you can't re-enroll for 6 months. Again, the work is only 20 hours per month of employment activities. And then also they killed non-emergency medical transportation. That is those taxis, those medical taxis. Medicaid won't pay for that anymore. As a matter of fact, I talked to one of the people who was working on Kentucky's Medicaid waiver, and he's quite simply, he said, look, people who buy insurance don't have eye benefits, don't have transportation benefits. If we're going to save the program, we have to trim things and try to get the cost down. And the first thing we can trim is things that you don't get when you pay for insurance anyway. So there's the problem. I support the expansion. I recognize we're going to have to make some changes for Kentucky to be able to afford it. Nobody likes those changes to come. If the Bevin administration can save those Medicaid expansion changes, that's going to be worthwhile. If they can't and they begin cutting Medicaid, then they lose my endorsement and my enthusiasm. That's all I'll say about Medicaid on air. We got catch me sometime on the street, and I'll give you an earful about it.
Boy, Willie.
Yeah, but meanwhile, time we've got left, which I've talked way too long already, Rick has been to Las Vegas. We don't endorse this.
Don't pay for it.
No. We are mostly against it, but it really does. It does serve a useful function. And Rick, tell us a little bit about why you made this trip to Las Vegas, which was a business trip to Las Vegas, right?
Well, not really. Kind of, sort of, right? So it is a trip where I pay my own way. So it's not in any way, shape, or form, you know, funded by any state agency or anything. What happens is it's a little thing called Consumer Electronics Show, right? So it's CES. Everybody reads about it in the news for, you know, a week before and 2 weeks after and sees it on the nightly news. And in this particular case, it made the news during the middle of the week because the power went out one day. And if you've ever had 170,000 people in a place and the power goes out, it's kind of
looking
alarming.
At electronics and the power goes out.
Well, imagine. But if anything, that's a microcosm into what it's going to be. I mean, we are so dependent on technology that, I mean, energy was just overwhelmed. I mean, this place is amazing. So Consumer Electronics Show, what is it? And what does it have to do with business, right? How does it have to do with an enterprise? What it is it's a glimpse of what's coming into any retail store that sells electronics or technology in the next, say, 5 to 7 years, right? So you're going to start seeing these things pop up later this year. But really what happens is the TVs find their way in, you know, a little quicker, maybe a year. The cars find their way in a couple, 2-3 years, you know, and different things find their – you find technology at different stages in its development and its implementation, right? This is my fifth year in a row. The first year, there was this weird little area called 3D printing, and everybody's like, what? How do you print in 3D? And, of course, now there's an entire wing of it devoted to 3D printing, and you can print anything from a toothpick, which – would you really want to print your own personal toothpick? Well, I don't know, maybe. But the key this year with 3D printing wasn't so much the printing. We've proved that we can take plastic, we can put it into a machine, and we can heat it up, and we can finally weld that plastic together in such a way that it makes an object. We've done it with metal, we've done it with plastic, we've done it, you know, with pretty much they can make anything. They can make a part for a car in a 3D. But this year, it wasn't about making the part. This year, it was about scanning the object. How do you get the object? Because it's easy to print it now. It's much harder to make the print job, right? So you say you've got a gear. You've worked on something at your house. Maybe, let's just say, something that turns like maybe a meat slicer. And the gear on it breaks. And you need to replace the gear. You should be able to 3D print it, right? Well, somebody's got to build the mold. Somebody's got to build the model in a 3D print design. It's very difficult. And that's been the holdup with 3D printing. But what if you had something that you could scan the object, get it into the system, and go, oh, I see what it is now, and then print that scan? There were lots of people doing scans. There was one interesting thing. You could do a full body scan, and it would create your own personal bobblehead. Look just like you. Now think about that, Tony.
I have because, you know, we've got that on the Facebook page where instead of printing a family portrait, you can basically print a family, I guess, tableau or a
monument.
Yeah,
a mini monument.
Family action figures.
Exactly.
If you want to
strike
do that.
A pose.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So now, some of that's, you know, in the name of fun, but really, if you think about it, the scanning portion of it really opens up new opportunities, right? So, say you break something at the house, you can have a scanner, you can scan the item, have it automatically repair the broken part, and then print off a new one.
See, I want to get 3D printed glasses. I'm tired of spending all that money and going all over creation to buy glasses and have them adjust and so forth. I want to scan my head and have glasses that are custom fitted to my head. That is my big 3D printer job.
There will be the time where you can print your own shoes. I mean, eventually there will be. I mean, it'll come. So Consumer Electronics Show. It grows every year. This year was 180,000 people. What I try to do is I try to look at the trends and what's coming. So this particular visit, I started off, and I always start off in my core area, networking, right? So I walk into the networking section, start looking to it. Most all this product, from the university standpoint, is going to find its way onto our campus and our dorms, in our research halls, and in the hospital. I mean, you're going to see this stuff just littered throughout the university because, again, in a university setting, we're essentially somebody's home, right?
Right.
So we have to be ready for that stuff. We have to know, okay, at one point, some people had a Wi-Fi device. Well, now everybody's got a Wi-Fi device, and most people have 3.6 on average, right? So you have to know that so you can prepare the network to support however many devices you have. So anyway, I go to the networking. There's a guy with a desk lamp, and he's lighting up this area. So you know how we do Wi-Fi in our house, right? It uses RF energy, radio waves. They penetrate your body. They penetrate the walls. They penetrate, you know, you can get Wi-Fi outside of a building, inside of a building. Well, they've now created Li-Fi. It's light instead of RF, right? So it actually, when you turn the light switch on in the room and you have the right network adapter that does Li-Fi, you can actually get your internet connection through the lights in the room, not the Wi-Fi. There's no RF penetration of anything.
So you think it's safer theoretically?
Well, theoretically, it's going to be a lot safer. I think, you know, you don't have radio waves at 2.4 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz running through your body constantly. The other thing, too, think of it from a security standpoint. This room we're in today would be completely secure. Of course, it's got a big old window next to us. But if you can put the light, and as soon as you turn the light switch off, nobody in the room is going to get it. Plus, nobody outside the room is going to know what we're doing on the network. It's a completely secure environment. So, kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I found that to be interesting. Lots of security products, a lot of things, ways to secure things, both physically and cyber, all that good stuff. Tons and tons of healthcare wearable stuff, right? They're now building a Fitbit into your shoe, right? So when you buy your shoes, you just pair it up with your phone, and it'll track your steps, literally.
Yeah, it's a good place to track steps as I think about it.
Yeah.
A lot better than your belt.
Absolutely. Right, and plus you don't have to, you know, I mean, they've even got them to where they light up and do all kinds of crazy stuff. But there's that. But the real theme, and I kind of got to wind this down because we only got about 2 minutes. The real theme this year was robots and automation. Robots and automation. And I would love to talk you through a demonstration I did on, but within 2 to 5 years, if you're willing to go down that road, you'll be able to automate everything in your house. I mean, they're putting clothing manufacturers are starting to embed RFID into your clothing so that your washing machine will know how to wash your clothes, right? You can embed the washing and care instructions into the tag. When the tag goes into the washing machine says, oh, you're cotton. Okay, I need to do you 10% this and 22% that. And oh, by the way, Mr. Dryer, I'm done with my cycle. Go ahead and set up for this delicate fabric here. And so it actually goes ahead and sets the dryer up for whatever it washed. Likewise, your kitchen, you'll be able to go to the refrigerator. You'll be able to both look inside it without actually opening the doors because of camera technology. It'll tell you when things are going to expire. It'll tell you what ingredients you have available to make certain recipes. And if you choose to make that recipe, it will then send the instructions down to the stove to preheat, cook, set a timer. And then beyond that, it'll go to the dishwasher and tell the dishwasher, hey, we've got, you know, something that could be heavily stained, so go ahead and, you know, turn on a pots and pans cycle.
Now, is this a shared network, or is the refrigerator, in fact, the brain of the kitchen?
No, they've actually, each of the manufacturers, this is where it's going to get interesting, each of the manufacturers uses an Alexa-like product. So each of them are now coming out with their own Alexa. So LG has a Hey LG, Samsung has.
I don't like Would you say LG?
LG or
yeah, I know.
But they have different. They have different code words to start them up. But each of them are essentially home automation brains, and they tie everything together, including again washing, drying, cooking, buying groceries, telling you the milk's going to expire, even going ahead and ordering something and having it shipped to the house because you're getting low on lima beans. Then there's the cars. The cars are automated. They'll be driving themselves. The biggest thing is there's one manufacturer that's actually building a retrofit kit for an older car so you can put a bar, a radar bar on top of it and actually hook it into your steering and your drive and everything, and essentially it'll make your 67 Chevelle automated driving.
And on that terrifying note.
So, whatever car you have, be careful. Automation is coming your way.
Get us off the air.
Special thanks to our Moorhead State Public Radio producer, Brian Courtney, and to Eric Bilber, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org, or visit us on Facebook. Just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show. And remember,
during a White House meeting Thursday on immigration reform, President Donald Trump reportedly referred to American nations as Health Matters countries. Here's what those who attended the meeting said afterward about the controversy.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said, following comments by the president, I said my piece directly to him. The president and all those attending the meeting know what I said and how I feel. I've always believed that America is an idea, not defined by its radio shows, but by its ideals.
Democratic Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois said, I cannot believe that in the history of the White House, any president has ever discussed the radio shows that I personally heard our president discuss yesterday.
Hours after the story broke, White House spokesperson Rod Shaw did not deny the Health Matters remark. The next morning, the president didn't mention the show, but his language was tough. Never said anything derogatory about Haitians other than Haiti is obviously a very poor and troubled country. I have a wonderful relationship with Haitians. Probably should change the radio show references. Unfortunately, no trust.
David Perdue, a Republican from Georgia, stated, we do not recall the president mentioning this radio show specifically, but he did call out the imbalance in our current immigration system, which does not protect American workers and our national interests.
Whatever you do, do not take this stuff lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week for more exciting news from the world of medical research on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.